This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A former North Carolina governor will head an investigation into academic fraud at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The scandal involves student-athletes at the school's African and Afro-American Studies Department. This outside review of academic irregularities comes after the transcript of a former UNC star athlete surfaced online. The document suggests that the athlete was given preferential treatment in classes in that same department. Last month, Julius Nyangaro resigned as chair of the Afro-American Studies Department. This follows last year's NCAA probe into improper academic and financial benefits for football players at UNC. That investigation resulted in the firing of Coach Butch Davis and the accelerated retirement of Athletic Director Dick Bedore. Joining us now for a look at this story is Dave DeWitt, WUNC's education reporter and Raleigh Bureau Chief. Dave, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Athletic department scandal's been going on at UNC Chapel Hill for a while, actually more than 2 years. Give us a quick summary of what's happened so far.
It seems like the never-ending scandal. It all began in September of 2010 when Marvin Austin, one of the team's best players, was out in partying out on the town, and he tweeted about how much fun he was having. Turns out he was sort of on the dole of an agent who had paid for a lot of these things. And that started, sort of sparked all of this. It eventually led to more than a dozen players being suspended before their first game, nationally televised game. So because of that, all the national networks and everybody sort of descended on this story. Locally, of course, the media also descended on the story. Ended up leading to multiple investigations, one by the NCAA. Found all kinds of things, academic or improprieties from agents, an associate head coach that was essentially funneling players to certain agents, and then to academic integrity issues, which became much more important, at least in the eyes of the university and the NCAA. They came out with their penalties last spring, included a bowl ban for this year, loss of 15 football scholarships, and a 3-year probation for the football program. But that's hardly been the end of it.
No, it hasn't. Just when we thought it was over, we get this new problem now in the African and Afro-American Studies program. What happened there?
Well, throughout this, that program was sort of identified as a place where a lot of athletes seem to be taking classes. And as one of the players tried to get reinstated, he produced an independent study paper that he'd done for one of the classes in that department. And NC State fans found that paper because it was part of the public record. And then began a check, and it turned out it was largely plagiarized. And because of that, then they started to take a closer look at these independent study and other courses in this department that a lot of athletes, not the, the courses weren't all just for athletes, and not all athletes obviously were in the courses, but a higher percentage of athletes were in those courses than in other courses throughout the university. And then that department became the subject of an internal investigation. Julius Nyangaro, as you mentioned, was the chair of the department. He taught many of these classes. Another woman, Deborah Crowder, who was sort of the department administrator, office manager, if you will, also seems to be involved in a lot of this. She left in 2009, and a lot of these classes, 54 of them, were questionable, you know, grade changes, no-show classes. That situation became quite a black mark on the university, but that, you know, that sort of ended here recently until as you mentioned, the paper appeared online, or the transcript.
We thought it went back to 2007, but then the transcript of Julius Peppers shows up. You tell us who he is, but that goes well before 2007.
Right. Julius Peppers, as if you're a fan of sports in this area, you remember Julius Peppers from 1999 to 2001. He was the rare two-sport athlete, played football and was on scholarship in football, and also played basketball. And to tell you what kind of an athlete Julius was, and I covered Julius as part of the Tar Heel Sports Network, he won the state title in high school in the triple jump. He's 6'7", and now weighs almost 300 pounds. And for a guy like that to be that athletic is rare, to be sure. And Julius might be the first to tell you he wasn't the best student in the world. He came to UNC Chapel Hill, and essentially one individual, an individual named Carl Carey, was an academic advisor in the athletic department, was responsible for keeping Julius eligible, and did so not unlike every academic advisor in every school in the country does that by steering certain players to certain courses. For Julius, it appears now, because this transcript appeared online, and how it appeared online is a whole other story, but it appeared online as a test transcript, something UNC was doing internally to sort of show different people how a transcript and it can read and how to do that. But his name wasn't taken off of it. So that's another issue. But turns out Julius took a lot of individual courses, independent courses through the African-American Studies program that appeared to keep him ineligible, which gives the suggestion that perhaps it wasn't just 2007 on that these problems were going on, but before that.
And tell us again when he played here.
He played 1999 to 2001.
All right. So this brings us to the independent investigation. What's happening there?
Well, what's happened now is that these calls have gotten to the point where Chancellor Holden Thorpe has called for an outside independent review. Now, the NCAA, of course, conducted its investigation. UNC conducted an internal investigation surrounding the African-American and Afro-American and African Studies Department. That was internal. Now it's clear that this next investigation has to be from the outside. So he picked former Governor Jim Martin, Republican governor from 85 to 93. The important thing about Jim Martin, other than he's widely respected sort of throughout the system, is that he did not go to UNC. He did not go to NC State. He did not go to a university school. He went to Davidson College. And that does matter in all of this because of the problems that the NC State fans have found in all of this, and there's obviously a lot of contention between schools at times. That's important. It has to be completely external, much like, although there are many differences, the Louis Freeh investigation at Penn State, it had to be an external review. So that's going to happen now. There are a couple other initiatives that Chancellor Thorpe has announced yesterday, reorganized the academic support services for athletics. And he's also asked Hunter Rawlings, who was a former president at the University of Iowa and Cornell, now at the American Association of Universities, will examine the balance between academics and athletics.
So where is the line here, Dave? Because, and I don't mean to minimize this, but it is an open secret on every campus that student athletes who may not be the best students but better athletes are, you know, sent to classes where we expect them to do better. And it's, as I say, an open secret. These guys are gone. They spent a lot of time on the road. They're going to have an easier go of it. What's the line? When do you break the rule in this kind of achieving academic performance?
Well, right. And if you think even about these very questionable independent study courses, they were open to all students. Any student could do that. Now, not every student has an academic counselor actively looking through the system for them. Think back to almost every, as you said, every school has this situation. And not just with athletes. Students seek out easy majors. They seek out easy classes. The thing about student athletes, of course, is they've got anywhere between 40 and 60 hours a week that they've got to devote to their sport. And they have academic counselors actively helping them select classes and get into the classes and then manage that classwork. So, you know, at Duke a few years ago, there were a lot of questions about student athletes who seemed to be taking a lot of sociology courses. Now, sociology at Duke is a legitimate department. It's a difficult department. But why were all the student athletes congregating there? Was it because it was easy courses because of this or that? Now, there's been no improprieties ever suggested about that. But this happens at every school, no matter if it's Duke or Carolina. And we see that now. That was the thing about this scandal happening at Carolina. Carolina has always been held up as a paragon of a place where it was done right. Mm-hmm. Academic athletic balance was done correctly. We've seen now that isn't the case almost anywhere. Yeah. It's not the case at Penn State or another place that was held up. It's not the case in North Carolina. It's not the case anywhere where this is done, where the balance is right. It's these kinds of situations happen, and the line is different in different places.
And taking a class that is perceived as easier than another is one thing, and I think there's a suggestion in some cases that grades were actually changed and perhaps raised apart from their actual merit.
Right, and that's a whole different issue. If you can find that is a specific problem, obviously for any student that would be a problem. For athletes, it's an even bigger problem. The other interesting point of this, I think, is the idea of student privacy. You know, Julius Peppers has been out of this school for 11 years, and suddenly his transcript appears on a UNC website. You know, he has, of all the people in those, he has a lockdown case against UNC essentially for violating his privacy, and there are a lot of privacy issues. They've come up a lot in this ongoing issue between UNC and the media. The media has sought a lot of the public records in this case. UNC has sought to make those documents private using FERPA, the privacy law, the federal privacy law. In protecting the student's identity and their privacy, media has argued that what they're actually doing is protecting themselves from scrutiny, which may or may not be true. But, you know, this line is so being differently drawn. And if you're a student athlete, it's one more thing actually to worry about. You know, how much privacy do you have? Even your transcript could be public, you know, record at some point.
So as this investigation deepens now, UNC has already been sanctioned for what we already know. What's the potential? What lies ahead?
Well, certainly the NCAA could get back involved if things are shown that this is a deeper problem than the one that they examined. These are new allegations. Certainly the NCAA could get back involved. But really what's at the core here, and they're bringing in Hunter Rawlings to look at it, is this unequal balance between academics and athletics. And if you got to be honest about it, it's not going to change. Now, certainly there could be some penalties associated. More people may lose their jobs if they've been found to do things that were untoward. But, in 3 years, will anybody remember it? And if North Carolina's football team starts to do well again, and if their basketball program, which may or may not be touched by some of this scandal, if they continue to do well, that imbalance is going to be there, and I don't see any of this changing.
Well, could
that.
Carolina be stripped of those men's championships in the past over the past decade?
You know, if it goes deep enough, it doesn't seem likely based on anything we know now. But certainly, Penn State was stripped of all of its victories for a certain period of time, championships. But again, what does that even mean? You know, a championship lives in the memory now, and so it will continue to do so. But it's unlikely that would happen. And how much basketball ends up getting touched by this will determine if this is sort of a moderate-level scandal or if it really starts to generate more interest.
All right, Dave, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt, WUNC's education reporter and Raleigh Bureau Chief. You can follow him at Dave DeWitt. You can follow Dave on Twitter to keep up with the latest news. Just ahead, a reminder why no one puts baby in a corner. 25-year anniversary of Dirty Dancing coming up on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.